Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be with you all. It's been years, have known of the assembly and have prayed for the assembly. We've never visited, although we have been in Dallas many times, never have come to Edmunds Lane, so it's a wonderful privilege that we have to be here with you all. What I would like to do this morning is look at a text that is very near and dear to me, and I'll explain why in just a little bit. And along with that text, give our testimony, my testimony, my family's testimony, and how we have come to where we are now today. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. If you can turn with me to Mark chapter 5, we will read a very familiar portion. And the intent today is not to give application specifically from this portion, but instead to explain how it has really shaped and guided our lives over the last 13 years. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. And we read in verse 21, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by a boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.'" Verse 24, "So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." So just for the setting, we have in this portion here, in verse 24 specifically, we see that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been approached by someone of position, and there is a crowd gathering around. Now, there are other verses and other events that just took place that would give us a little more context to this, but we're not going into that. Sufficient to say that there was a large crowd that gathered around our Lord, and everybody was jostling back and forth and essentially bumping into the Lord and everyone else as they would have walked. Continuing on in verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment." Verse 28. "For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" We read in other portions, we read that she was considering, "If only I could touch the hem of his garment." Verse 28, "For she said, 'If she would touch his clothes, that I would be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." Verse 34, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" The main thought, and there are many that can be brought forth, but the main thought that I want to bring to you this morning is this concept of this woman with the affliction, her desire to seek after the Lord. The thought here is that this woman, although there were many around her that would be in opposition to her getting close to Christ, everybody was trying to get close to the Lord, and yet she was trying to, because she wanted to just get a glimpse of his garment, touch his garment, to be made well. But the idea is that no matter what was in front of her to stop her, she would press forward to the Savior. And even more than that, and this is specifically what I pondered on for years, was this thought of this woman, and any of us could be in this situation, where we desire to come to the Lord, and she, having affliction, and her desire led her to do this, she would go to the Lord with open hands. You see, again, there were people to stop her. Everybody was trying to gather to Christ. But not only that, she could have had worldly possessions and belongings with her. Some of these things could have been in her arms, right? But that's not exactly what we see. Her desire is to simply get to the Lord, and in doing so, open arms, open hands, to grasp the Lord wholly, completely. So with that thought, we'll move into what has happened over the last many years. So as dear brother mentioned, we are not from an assembly background. My family and my wife's family grew up in the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army, if you are not aware, that they do have a church. Many don't know that, but it is a parachurch organization, and it is structured as such. And as a matter of fact, we were driving here, over there, I believe, somewhere, if my direction is right, towards the freeway, and we passed a Salvation Army facility not too far from here, maybe just a few minutes away, a couple of miles at most. So we grew up in the Salvation Army, and my wife has a mother and a grandmother, so she would be a third generation in the Salvation Army. And likewise, my parents and my grandmother in the Salvation Army. So I was also third generation in the Salvation Army. And it was roughly 12 to 13 years ago that while in the Salvation Army and very active in the Salvation Army, there was much that we were involved with, that I had a desire to know the Lord more completely. This desire or this revival in my life wasn't solely independent of any others. It was also a few other brethren there that had a desire to really understand the will of the Lord in our lives. So the three of us, and there were three men, myself and two others, we desired to meet together, and we would meet outside of the services. We would come together. It might be at a coffee shop. It might be at someone's home. We may go to a restaurant. But either way, we would gather, and we would bring with us some materials that you would need in order to study the Bible. One, of course, is the Word of God. So we had with us our Bibles. We also had with us a dictionary, just a standard dictionary, because sometimes there are words that you don't fully understand. We had with us a Strong's Concordance. Many of you are familiar with that. The Strong's Concordance that I still have now is the one that I used to use, and it's not the it's not a small version. It's probably about that thick, and it feels like it's probably 20 pounds, but it's only 5 or something. And in addition with that, I would take an interlinear Bible, and that, if you're familiar with that, has the Greek and the Hebrew, the Strong's numbers in it. It also has a word-for-word literal translation. So these are the books that I would take, and I would carry them essentially in a carry-on bag because it was too much to carry. And I would wheel this in wherever we were going, and generally it had to be a place that was there was a large table for us, because I would have my books and they would go all about, and then the other two would have the same. And you see, beloved, we would spend time poring over the Scriptures. Now, neither one of us were classically trained in hermeneutics. We didn't understand completely what we were reading, which is why we had so many materials. We also each had a commentary with us to try to have a reference point. But we would prayerfully consider the Scriptures, and we would discuss them one with another as we met for several hours. And we would come across various issues. There wasn't any issue that we were trying to look at in particular at the beginning. We were really just trying to get an understanding of the Word of God. And you see, there were certain portions that we would come to that were very difficult to answer. And some of these portions we're very familiar with. In fact, we would call them some of the distinctives of the assemblies. One of that is the issue of head covering. The Lord's Supper, another. So these issues that we would see, we would look at, and by the way, these assembly distinctives that I just spoke of specifically, and many others, but these specifically, these were not practiced in the Salvation Army. So whenever we read this from Scripture, and we saw what Scripture said very plainly and clearly, it was very confusing to us because we have not seen that. We hadn't seen that done yet. We hadn't seen that applied or acted out. So, again, mentioning that it is the Salvation Army is structured as a parachurch organization, and again, mentioning that we were very actively involved in the Salvation Army. Because of that, we had opportunity to travel with some of the leaders that are some of the regional leaders. My wife and I were involved with music, and because of that, we would get the opportunity to travel quite often, whether it would be in the U.S. or outside of the U.S., and we would travel with them because of that. So because I had access to some of those that were higher up in the Salvation Army, I would ask them these questions, and I would say, well, what do we do about this? Because I don't see this anywhere applied. We don't do this, but Scripture says that we should do it. So how do we handle that? What do you say about that? And I was coming to them because these are people that that I love dearly. And again, not being trained, I went to them because I figured, well, they had been trained and that they would be able to provide an answer. I was told over and over the course of roughly a year, that what I was saying, or rather, what I was repeating from Scripture, just reading it word for word, right? What Scripture was saying was not to be taken literally, but instead, it was maybe a custom of the time, or maybe it was meant to be taken figuratively, right? We've heard the arguments, and there are many. But over and over when I would hear this, I would tell them, well, that's not good enough for me. You see, if Scripture says it, beloved, if Scripture plainly says something that we should or should not do, then it really is just that simple. We can make excuses as to why we shouldn't do it, because it's difficult. But that doesn't change the Word of God. In fact, those verses, beloved, are no different than John 3:16. Very plain to see. So as I mentioned that wasn't good enough and that I would need proof from Scripture to explain what they were saying, it became very difficult to have that relationship continue. But the time went on, and the three of us, the three men, we still spent time in studying and in prayer. And more, we started to see these various topics come up. And more, I would have questions. Now, the three of us would research these issues and discuss them. And as that was going on, our wives were at home, and all of us had children. I think all of us have four children, as a matter of fact. I'm not sure how that worked out, but each of us had four children, or at least have four children now. And our wives would be at home taking care of the children while we were spending time in study. And all three of us would separate and go back home. And it was interesting because every time I would go back home, I would come back to my wonderful wife. And I would say, well, look what I just saw in Scripture. And we would talk about it. I'm like, well, maybe we should do things a little different. And my poor wife, of course, had no advance notice of this, right? I would come home and say, hey, why don't we just go ahead and stop doing what we've been doing all this time, and let's change directions here with this application, with this verse. Wonderfully, the Lord knew exactly what I needed in a wife, and she, although it wasn't easy, she still followed. Right, she saw that that's what Scripture said, and she was willing to do that. And one by one, every issue, I would come home, and we would discuss it, and then we would change. You see, 13 years ago, we would have been very much like every other young adult couple, career-minded couple. We would have been just the same. But many aspects of our life changed very quickly, And it was probably over the course of about a year or so that we made many, many changes. In fact, so many changes that it was becoming very difficult to stay in the Salvation Army, because there were too many positions, too many doctrines that did not line up. Again, some of the ones that I mentioned already, such as the Lord's Supper, which is not practiced, not at all. It's not that it happens once a year or once a month or however the case may be that some practice, but it doesn't happen at all. Baptism is another. There are many, and I don't need to go on, but there are many that we would differ. And the time came for us to have that point of separation, and it was very difficult because I mentioned earlier that we are a third generation. Now, many of you are pretty young in here. I don't see too many that could be a first generation or at least have two more below them. But just think of that for a moment, if you could. If two generations down all of a sudden wanted to do something different, and not only did they want to do something different, but maybe even suggesting what you have been doing and what they have been doing for years is wrong. So there was a very difficult separation from our families for a period. So my parents and my wife's parents, with whom we have a great relationship now, but at that time, whenever we discussed the fact that we would no longer be going to the Salvation Army, we didn't know where we were going to go. We just knew it wasn't going to be at the Salvation Army. Whenever we left the Salvation Army, because of how much we had changed in our lives and how we applied Scripture, it seemed very strange to them. You see, there was a lot changing in our lives, and the Lord was working very quickly in our lives at that time. And it was at that time that my parents and my wife's parents basically decided that we must be involved with some sort of cult. Too much had happened too quickly. It just didn't make sense. So they would ask us many questions, and of course we had grandchildren, and their concern for their grandchildren really drove them to try to find out what was going on in our lives. And although we had been very open and had much conversation with them, they still had great difficulty accepting that. So for that year's time or so, while we weren't anywhere in particular, we decided to go to different churches to try to find something that we saw represented in Scripture. We live in Houston, that's been mentioned. And just like Dallas, there are many, many churches. In fact, I was noticing just on the drive here, there was like three, I think, passed up that way, and there's one here, and there's obviously this, and then there's others, and they're all over the place. So then just think for a moment then, as we were considering trying to find a place in Houston, how long that would take to eventually have found where we are now, Colonial Hills Bible Chapel. You see, but it wasn't us just hopping around. Now at this point, I mentioned there were three families and that were on this journey together. Two families left the Salvation Army, one family stayed. And so now the journey was continuing with just two families. And the two of our families would get together as we were really separate from all other believers that we knew at that time, because we were trying to find a place that would worship in the style in which we thought was appropriate from Scripture. And some of those major differences that we thought were important, again, the Lord's Supper was a really principal theme that we were looking for, and not just once a month or once a year or every 6 months, but from Scripture we thought that what we understood was essentially once a week, and we thought that was the most appropriate from what we saw from Scripture. And we would go to various places and had great difficulty until one day we were growing very restless, and it was very difficult. We went and got a book on denominations, and we started thumbing through this very large book on denominations from the library, and we came to something called Brethren. Now, if you look up brethren in the denominations, it's not exactly the same, you see, but there are many similarities. And after researching that, I did what every other young adult would do when they have a question, and that's go to Google. And I typed in Brethren Houston. And when I did that, there was a website that came up. And that website is for someone named John Matthew, or Sonny Ermator. Many of you probably know him. Some of you may not. But Sonny's website came up nonetheless. Or John Matthew, however you may know him. And on his website, there were many things that we saw that made perfect sense to us, and we were very excited. And this is the two families again. So we gave Sonny a call, and this was on a Saturday evening. And we called Sonny. We had a long conversation with him. And on Saturday night, he said, well, why don't you come out Sunday morning? We had enough conversation with him for him to understand that we were believers. So we came to the Lord's Supper. Now, on a somewhat different note, and this is speaking as someone from outside of the assemblies, and just out of curiosity, how many here were not born into the assemblies? Okay, so there's a few. That's good. So for someone to visit the assemblies and have never come before to the Lord's Supper or remembrance meeting, if you don't know this, you have to understand that it is a very strange meeting. If you have never been a part of it, it seems very awkward for many reasons. One is there are random people just jumping up, right? That's a very awkward thing for most churches, right? There is a program and it is to be followed or else. So to have various people standing up, it's very strange. The focal point, Christ, is not a foreign concept. However, the continual thought of his death, again, is a very foreign concept. If you go to many churches nowadays, that's something that won't be brought up. Sin is not brought up all that often, you see? So it's a very foreign concept. And there are many other aspects of it that I won't go into that you already know make it somewhat different. So that first meeting for us was very strange. Very strange. I remember after leaving that we would have a conversation just about how strange it was. We didn't quite understand it. Now, we understood that the Lord's Supper was important. Again, that was something that we understood completely. But we had never seen that applied before. When I grew up, and I didn't mention this initially, but my family is from a Catholic background for generations, outside of the few that I mentioned for the Salvation Army. Everyone else in my family would be from a Catholic background. So the only thing I ever knew was a little wafer, right, and this cup of wine that would go about. So that's all I really knew, and I wasn't sure what to expect, and obviously the Lord's Supper was much different than I intended the remembrance meeting was. Nonetheless, it is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us. But continuing on, I just wanted to make that side note just in case it's something that you have not thought of before. So we would continue on, and we went to Colonial Hills Bible Chapel, and there was one reason that we decided to stay. And yes, I told you that the first meeting was a little different, and it was very foreign. And a lot of what we saw was very clear, very clearly what we were understanding from Scripture. But the one reason that we stayed was because the assembly and those in the assembly loved one another. And you see, more than anything, we understood, and this is now where the two families separated. It was very clear to us, our family, that if the Christians there had a love for one another, and they loved one another because of their love for Christ, then this was the place that we should be. So at that time, and it didn't take long, But the two families, those two families now that separated out and were together, and that was our family and another, we split. We went to Colonial Hills Bible Chapel. And the other family went their way. And you see, beloved, that whole time, and since we've been there, has been a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. So that now takes us at least to the point where we are at Colonial Hills. The last several years we have been there have been a time of much prayer and trying to discern the Lord's will for our lives. So now, in thinking back to the verses that we read earlier, and the thought that was always in my mind and has been in my mind for roughly 13 years when I read this verse, was this concept of continually seeking after the Lord with open hands. And you see, that's been our desire, and that's still our desire, that nothing will hold us back or weigh us down from grasping the Lord. So what are some of those things that could be in the way, just by way of application? Well, it could be worldly possessions, right? Anything that will consume your time, consume your resources. It could even be children or grandchildren, right? There are many things. The point is that our desire was to wholly serve the Lord and seek after the Lord. And in that desire to do this, we would spend time with many other believers. And one of those dear brothers that I spent time with is Alex. And this was many years ago. He was so gracious to spend a week with me. I didn't feel as thankful after the week was over because my head was hurting every day. I would spend many hours with the dear brother at his home, and we spent time in study, and surely everyone here has had a conversation with him about scripture and theology and doctrine, and if you do that for 8 hours a day, your head will hurt. Just know that. But it was a wonderful time in study, and there were other brethren as well that I was able to do that with. And the Lord used those brothers and many others to really try to help shape my understanding, as well as discipline in my life spiritually. Several years ago, Alex was at a conference for Ireland Outreach International. And at the conference, he gave a series that was entitled The Mission of God. And it was during that time that we really felt called to serve the Lord. And I don't, I don't mean serve the Lord in the sense that we all do, right? All of us serve the Lord wherever we may be. You serve the Lord in your school or in your home or at work, at the grocery store, every place that we go, we serve the Lord. More specifically, we felt the calling, and this is my wife and I, felt a calling to serve the Lord full time. Now, many years ago, we had that desire, and I remember right then that we were pretty much ready to go. Now, we spent time in prayer after we left the retreat, and my wife and I would spend time in prayer. We then would discuss it with the children, and we spent time in prayer with the children. And I remember it was before I spoke with the elders about it, but after we had continually prayed about it, that there was another conference here in the Dallas area. And it was a small one, but it was a missions conference, and it was an opportunity for many to share their experience with some of the short-term missions trips they had gone on. And it was there, and Alex may not even remember this, but it was there that I spoke to him for the first time about the calling of the Lord. Now, when I spoke to him, I was really hoping, and again, I didn't tell him this, I don't even know if I've told you this before, brother, but I was really hoping that he would encourage us to move right along into the Lord's work. That's not what he did. What he did was, he said, well, brother, you should continue to pray about it, and I'll pray with you as well. And I'll tell you that as a young adult, that's not what I wanted to hear, right? I wanted to move on into what we felt the Lord was calling us to. So we went home and we prayed. We prayed as a family, the children, and this was without our youngest, Abigail. It was the other older three. We prayed, and everybody was of the same mind that we would serve the Lord. Not necessarily where we would serve the Lord or how we would serve the Lord, but instead that we would be willing to serve the Lord. So I went to the elders, and I told them we had been praying about this for some time. It is our desire to serve the Lord. And I told them very plainly, you tell me where you would like us to go, and we will go. I didn't come to them with where the Lord was leading, just simply, you point and we will go. It was a decision then that we would wait and that continue to pray. Again, not what I wanted to hear, but it was what needed to happen. And it has been clearly made evident in our lives and to us now that waiting on the Lord is exactly what we needed. You see, because over those many years, a couple of things would happen. From a spiritual perspective, I would be mentored and discipled by others and really grew in the Lord during that time. Now, before then, I had spent time with many brothers already, and the Lord had shown me so much prior to that. But really, the last several years, I have been able to grow much in the Lord. And then from a secular perspective, again, it was mentioned that I work for UPS. And in that time frame, responsibility at UPS grew very quickly. You see, it wasn't obvious to me then what the Lord had in mind. I didn't know. But it is clear now that the Lord was training me for a purpose. I wasn't ready yet. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And the Lord needed many years to train me just so I could start the journey. Well, during that time frame, I would go to the elders, and I would continue to talk to them about it. I spoke to them three times. The last time is what takes us to current day. The second time I went to them, I simply asked that they would continue in prayer about the matter, because now it wasn't this general concept of send us. We had a few guidances from the Lord, and we felt that there were two different ministry opportunities that we felt called to. As time would progress, and now moving to just a few months ago, it was made expressly clear that the opportunities that we thought were two were really just one. And again, it seemed pretty clear at that point that one of the opportunities was one really that was really what we wanted. And you see, that kind of takes me back to the waiting several years. We felt called to serve the Lord full time. But had we gone immediately, beloved, we wouldn't have been doing what the Lord would have us do. We probably would have gone to do what we thought we should do. And those last two opportunities, one of which is, again, what we thought, and that's pretty clear now, what we thought we would do, and I think we would have enjoyed it very much. But you see, beloved, it wasn't what the Lord would have in mind specifically. It wouldn't have been exactly in the Lord's will. But the Lord made that abundantly clear to my wife and I independently. And I remember we would come back together. We were apart for, I believe, a week during that time. And when we came back together, it was very clear to us that the Lord was taking away that one opportunity. And that left the one opportunity that we felt called to initially, and that was to serve with Ireland Outreach International. There are quite a bit of responsibilities that need to be handled with Ireland Outreach International. And you see, the training that I spoke of earlier for those several years, it is clear now that that is exactly what the Lord was training for. From a biblical perspective, a scriptural, spiritual perspective, I feel much more confident and comfortable handling many of the spiritual issues that would come up. It's not to say that I've acquired it all yet, but simply a start. And then from a secular perspective and from a management perspective, definitely is something that I have been trained to do for many years now with UPS. And it wasn't but maybe, 5 years ago or so, I think probably had around 40 employees that I would have been responsible for, and that's grown roughly 10 times over the last 5 years to where it's roughly 400. And you see, that kind of training that was needed, the discipline that was needed to handle that large of an organization or operation, as well as the skills to deal with people, the conflicts that would come up, and so on. It's clear now that that's exactly what the Lord was training for. So now to the day that it was decided from the elders, on a Wednesday night, we had many meetings with the elders, and on a Wednesday night, they asked that I would go and research some information and figure some things out specific to this opportunity. And I reported back to them, my wife and I, we discussed the issues that they wanted me to find out and to bring back to them. And this was a several meeting process. We would have conversations back and forth, and we would continue to pray, and we would continue to discuss. And finally, on a Wednesday night, after the Bible study and prayer meeting, my wife and I would stay. Well, all of us were there. We would stay, and we would discuss it with the elders, and I would report back to them everything that I had found out over the last 2 weeks. And that evening, it was decided that the commendation would go forward. And that was probably around 9 o'clock at night. Not 12 hours later, I was at work, and I had no intention of discussing it with work just yet. I wanted to wait till I had the commendation letter because I wanted to use it as a talking point. Not 12 hours later, I was in my boss's office, and he mentioned to me, and had mentioned to me prior to this, that a promotion was just around the corner. But that day, again, this was a Wednesday, he was telling me that probably Friday would be the official day. And it was at that time, not even 12 hours later, that it was very clear to me what was going on, and that another test was being put in front of me. UPS is a great company to work for. It has served us well, and the Lord has taken care of our family and many others through UPS. But the position and the finances were nothing to stand in the way. And again, not 12 hours later was the opportunity offered for the promotion. And I had to explain to my boss why I would not take it at that point. You see, I told him I wasn't going to take a promotion that only a few months later he would have to find somebody else. That would not be right. That wouldn't be doing right by the company. And when I left, it would have left a bad taste in their mouth about me, no doubt. And more importantly, about the work of the Lord. When I explained it to him, he thought I just wanted more money or a better position. When I explained it again and said, there's nothing you can offer that will cause me to stay. Well, then his boss and his boss's boss thought, well, maybe it must be the money. It must really be about the money or the position. And over the course of a couple of weeks, essentially, it would come up. And I had to reinforce the fact that, listen, there's nothing you're going to offer me that will keep me here. And, well, what about if you just go for, you know, a short period and then, no, that's not what this is about, right? This isn't about, there's nothing wrong with you. It's not that I don't enjoy working here. It's that I felt called to serve the Lord on a full-time basis. And after a couple of weeks of persistence and my persistence, they understood. And praise the Lord, now they are even supportive of what's going on. My boss, perhaps a nominal Christian, however, the other two are not. But even still, they are supportive and understand completely what's going on. Many questions have arisen, and because of this, much opportunity has been had to discuss Christ in the workplace, to bring up the gospel, and to bring up the goodness and grace and mercy of our Lord, and how wonderful that has been. You see, I didn't think this would be such an opportunity to share the gospel with so many at work, but it has, and it's been so wonderful to see how receptive they are to hearing the gospel. and to understanding why this decision is being made. They understand, of course, what is given up on our part. They're very well familiar with that. But they also understand that what is being lost pales in comparison to what is being gained. Beloved, this concept that we saw in this passage in Mark, remember the difficulties that she must have had. The crowd surrounded Christ. Yet in spite of the challenges that would have been in front of her and around her, this didn't stop her. You see, the goal was to reach Christ. And for us, the goal is to serve the Lord wherever we are. Everybody's situation is different. We have been called to serve the Lord full-time with Ireland Outreach. And we very much look forward to the opportunity. In April, it will be our first trip to Nigeria, April 12th. And we are very much excited about the opportunity. But beloved, I would encourage you that each of you, in your own way, whether it's at work or whether it's at school, wherever it may be, that you would serve the Lord accordingly. You see, we all, whether we work for UPS or whether we work for someone else, we still work for the Lord. So it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're at the workplace or whether you're at home or whether you're at the grocery store. Nonetheless, we serve the same Master. So, beloved, I would encourage each of you to serve the Lord fully. It is a rewarding opportunity that we have each been given. Before we close in prayer, I would like to briefly discuss some information that's going to get handed out to you. I'll ask my children if they can help with that. So there's two different things will come around. And I know that many of you are already familiar with Ireland Outreach. We have enough, I believe, for one per family, Elizabeth. We may have extras, but so this pamphlet here is a little bit of information about Ireland Outreach, and I'll just share it briefly. Inside the pamphlet, you will have a bookmark, and on the bookmark there are some items for prayer. There is much to pray for. I won't go through them all, but there's much to pray for. There's also some information about the school in Nigeria. Again, I know you're very well versed with the ministry and some of the opportunities there. But again, some specifics for prayer with the school. The next two you'll see are two opportunities for short-term missions trips. If you're interested, those pamphlets are in there as well. The last thing in the pamphlet is a slip of paper that looks like this. If you would like information concerning Ireland Outreach, things going on with the ministry, what's going on with us, please feel free to fill this out and just hand it back to me. And if you're interested, then we'll send you information. The last thing that you are receiving is a card with our picture on it. And this is a prayer card, and most importantly on the back and on the front, obviously our picture, there's some information there, contact information, but on the back, and this is what's most important. There are a few items for prayer, and I'll read through these. We ask that you would join us in prayer for the furtherance of the gospel in English-speaking Africa. I say English-speaking Africa specifically because that is where Ireland Outreach is doing its work. Wisdom from above as we transition into Ireland Outreach International. It's a very foreign concept for us to go from secular employment to the Lord's work completely. And not that I have the answers, I'm trying to understand. And the Lord has been so gracious in showing and teaching and through others. But there's a lot to transition into. There's a lot to consider. See, so much has just been taken care of for us from the workplace, and we hadn't considered much of it. So there is a lot to do. And much of the preparations have been done, and we feel very confident and comfortable with everything that the Lord has really opened the doors to. But please continue to pray for us as we transition. Pray for the continued work at the Haven of Hope. Even now, the second school building is underway. There's a brother, Ed, that is helping to supervise that, and he will be in Nigeria within a week or so to continue that. If anybody still needs a prayer card, you can let Abigail know. She's still walking around. I think everybody has one, sweetheart. And then finally, if you can pray with us for the integration of our family into the ministry of Ireland Outreach International. That has been our biggest prayer need, is how do we serve the Lord together with the ministry? This has never been, I mentioned it at the beginning, this has never been about the ministry opportunity that I would have or that my wife and I would have, but instead, how would we serve the Lord together? And that has really been the focus of our prayers over the many years, is how do we serve the Lord together as a family? This was, again, a topic that has been discussed much with Jim and myself and many others, is how do you apply that concept of serving the Lord together as a family in the ministry? So, beloved, please continue to pray for us and pray for us as our family integrates into the ministry of Ireland Outreach International, as we continue to grow as a family, grow spiritually, and grow into the responsibility that the Lord has placed us in. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have had this morning, that we can come into your presence. Father, we think of this morning in the remembrance meeting and how we were able to continually remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Son. We would remember the agony on the cross, the reproach that he faced. And Father, we know that although it was very difficult for Christ to endure, that we read in many places in Scripture that it pleased you to send your Son and to offer him up for our sacrifice, for our sin. And Lord, how difficult that is to understand. The sacrifice that you made for those that were turned away from you. And Father, how precious our Savior is, that he would be willing even unto death because of his love for us. Not that we deserved this wonderful gift that has been wrought through these actions. Nothing that we have done to deserve it, but out of your love for us, out of our Savior's love for us and his obedience to you, that this would be done. And Father, we thank you for that. Thank you that we have been granted such a privilege that we can come together, although from different backgrounds, that we serve the same Master. Lord, we ask that you would help us to impress upon our minds and hearts the need for prayer daily, that we would not cease in prayer for one another, but instead we would uplift one another, the concerns that were brought forth earlier, and we know that there are many that are on the bulletin, Lord, and we pray that we would pray for one another, that our desire would to see one another lifted up before the Lord. And we thank you that we have such a privilege that our prayers even now ascend through Christ to you. And as a perfect Father, it is your desire, Father, it's your desire to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. Lord, we continue in this time of worship and praise. And even as we would take a break, Lord, in the time that we would have in fellowship, I pray that our conversation would be centered around Christ, that our thoughts, our actions would be heaven-bound. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.